Hello and welcome to the Small Church Mentor Podcast, where we empower the pastors, leadership, and members of small churches to be what God wants them to be. I am your host, Gary Fuhr, and I'm proud to serve you today. Today's topic, Eyes on the Future, Part 3. I've titled this one, Use Them Now. When I say them, I am speaking to the young people. There is so much more to this thought process of eyes on the future than young people. However, I have five parts already mapped out. We're on part 3 of 5. And as I'm going through these, my heart is just so caught up on the young people. Other things such as the integrity, the finances, etc., logistics, all these things are things we need to have our eyes on also. But we'll address those in other podcasts going into the future. I hope you listeners are enjoying these podcasts. I hope they're helpful. I hope they're beneficial. I am enjoying them. They are kind of taxing on me. I live about 20 minutes or so away from the church where I record these. Today, my wife reminded me that I needed to record it to get it out. So I drove into to the church. I almost said drove into the church, but that didn't quite sound right. I drove over to the church today just to record this, and then I'll drive home. So it is a bit taxing, but I very much enjoy doing these, and I really hope they're a benefit to others. I'll announce it again in the end, but if this is a benefit to you, then I would sure enjoy feedback. I haven't monetized this. I'm not against monetizing it. Something may work out in the future where this would produce an income stream, but whether it does or not, I'm fairly indifferent right now. I don't really care. My payment right now would be to know that I was a help to some. I was help to someone, some church, some pastors. I would love to hear from you, and if this is some help to you, then by all means, shoot me an email, comment on our website, smallchurchmentor.com. I get some from that website. You can like the posts, and I get some folks that like the post, and you can ask my wife if you ever meet her, that is. I get really excited when somebody likes the posts. I think it's really neat. So we really want to help churches, especially the true, the believing churches that are walking right before God. We want to help you. And if you're struggling today, I want to be more of a help than a weekly 15, 20 minute, 25 minute podcast. And I'd love to speak with you. I'd love to talk with you one-on-one. It won't cost you anything right now. I'm just here. I'm available. I have a tight time schedule. We are busy people, us pastors and leadership of small churches. We are busy people. But I'll take some time out. I can prioritize some different things and talk with you. If you need to talk, shoot me an email at smallchurchmentor@gmail.com. And I'd love to talk with you. Love to know that we're doing some good and we're helping out somewhat. Because I want to see. This is, I guess in a sense, this podcast is my opportunity to broaden the horizons beyond the four walls of the church that I pastor and help the Church of America. The church, I'm finding some folks from China. I'm finding some folks, I think I had one hit from Australia come through. I'm finding some folks in another area. But I want to see the Church of Jesus Christ live on. I want to see the men and women of God continue on. And I'm not angry, and this isn't a podcast against the mega churches or the large churches, but I love the flexibility of the small church. And I sure hate for us to lose that freedom that the small churches have. And as much as the larger churches and the mega churches, they have their place, and that's good. I'm glad for you all. You do a work that us small churches can't do, but us small churches also do a work that the mega churches cannot do. And so I'd sure hate to lose that dynamic to go to a mega or a corporate, more of a corporate type church. So I want to support and I want to be the help that helps these small churches to continue on. One thing we really need to do better at, small church leader, small church pastor, small church member, we need to do better at keeping and maintaining our young people so that they'd have a walk with God. My dad taught me years ago, and I may have mentioned this in a previous podcast, but my dad taught me years ago the importance of a person. And he was actually speaking about a young person. He was speaking about a young cousin of mine that had gotten in a lot of trouble. And he says he needs to do more chores around the house and he needs to do more work for his family so that he could feel more of a part, so that he can feel. And he said a phrase that I've heard several times afterwards, but I first heard it from my dad. He says they need to feel ownership so that he could take pride in who he is and what he does. My children, I give them ownership in the Fuhrer last name. I give them ownership in this church. My younger son, my four-year-old Isaiah, he feels like he has ownership in this podcast because he's been on it twice now. And so that is an incredibly powerful thing. All of a sudden, my four-year-old supports my podcast very strongly because he has ownership in it. We have many of our young people in the church. They support us, the church as a whole. They believe in the church that I pastor. They believe in it strongly. And the reason is because they have ownership. I remember my pastor, my mentor, and I mentioned this in a previous podcast, but I remember my pastor, my mentor. I used to mow the churchyard when I was late teens, early 20s. And he told me one time, I was Sunday school teacher to the young boys, young to teenage boys class. And he told me, he says, you need to get your class together and come to the church and mow. And essentially what he told me in my ears was, you're going to be spending all day mowing this year. Of course, what he was saying is you need to give your young men a ownership into the church. They need to feel like they're a part. They need to have something to do. And he was absolutely right. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't like it. But he was right. He taught me that you need to use the young people now. Growing up in the church, I continually heard people say that we young people were the church of tomorrow, and that absolutely is true. I understand the spirit. I'm not trying to buck that. I'm not trying to make it sound wrong, but they're also the church of today. They're the leadership in the church tomorrow, but they're life in the church today, and I think that's a real powerful thing. You need to look around your church and you need to find things for your young people to do so that they will find what they are called to do. You need to look around your church and find things for your young people to do. And in doing these things, they will find their calling for eternity. We have a young man in church. And I invited him to stand up and preach one night. And he did a great job. He did a good job. He's done it a couple times since. I think he'd be fine at doing it. But he does not feel one bit that that is his calling. He feels like he did a good job. So it's not like he was beating himself down and saying, I don't think I did a good job. I don't ever want to do this again. It just didn't fit what God has for him. But I ask him to do other things, and he says, Gary, this is who I'm called to be. And so we're looking for even greater and more in that young man. But in doing things, in finding things for him to do, he found his calling and his gifting. I love my older son. He was on the podcast last week. Gideon was with us, and 15 years old. And at 12 years old, he started a auto detailing company. Last year, I asked him, I said, are you going to fire that up again in the summer? Because we didn't have a place. He just did it in the front yard. And he says, no. He says, that's not what I think I want to be doing again this year. I'm not interested in doing that again. In doing something, he found out that that wasn't his long-term gifting. You need to get your young people up there and use them now. Some of the things we have them do in our church, and it's fairly common, the fifth Sunday night of the month, and that only comes about once a quarter, the fifth Sunday night of the month, we ask our young people to take control of the entire service. And so, as a matter of fact, this last time, we have he's going to soon be 17 in August, he'll be 17-year-old young man, he's stepping into the role of more and more of leadership, and used to be in these fifth Sunday of the month, I would sit up and I would just kind of coach them. We had an MC, a young man took over the MC, where he introduced people, where he kept it flowing. But I was needed to still step in from time to time and just kind of help guide, kind of help direct. We've been doing this for long enough, and this young man is old enough. I popped up and I says, "All right, buddy." I said, "It's your turn. I am going to sit still and you're going to do it." You should have seen his face when the four-year-olds got up to sing. See, we always have the four-year-olds. They like to come up and sing on Sunday nights. My son, Isaiah, you met him, and another family, their four-year-old son. They're close friends. They're good friends. They get in trouble together all the time. And they get up and they sing together and do a good job, and it's fun. But I always have to be up there with them. I have to meet out the microphones. I have to make sure the microphones are on. And I have to sing with them, because otherwise they get lost. They're only four, after all. This 17-year-old, almost 17-year-old boy looked over at me, and I shook my head no. And he said, and he just gave me that look, and I shook my head yes. And that look was, "You mean I have to do it?" So he got up and he knelt down behind them. He helped them with their microphones and he sang with them. And we got some cool pictures of it. And what he did is he stepped out of his comfort zone into something else. And he's real good with the young people, and he's real good with the younger kids. And he's jumped up there and he did that. And it's really cool to watch our young people stepping outside of themselves. Gideon spoke a little bit to that. Our young people, they sing. They play musical instruments. They preach. They do anything that our adults do. One of the very powerful things to do is have young people work. Sometimes I feel lazy. In the food pantry night, it's our young men, our teenage men, that carry food out to the cars for our patrons. We make them work. It's very important. My mentor is 90 years old. He celebrated his 90-year birthday in February. And sometimes they need tables and chairs. They'll have a little family get-together at their house, and they need tables and chairs, and they borrow them from the church. And I always send our young men downstairs to load it up for them. I can do it just fine. I've done it for decades in this church. I've carried lug tables and chairs up and down, up and down, up and down. We're about to have a youth camp out in my yard, actually, is how we have our youth camp. And we're about to have our youth camp out in our yard. And it's going to be fun and exciting. And we're going to have to load up tables and chairs. And I'm not going to probably lift a single one of them. I'm not going to stack them in my van. I'm going to make the kids do all that. I can do it. I could do it better than they can do it. But I'm going to have them do it. Because it is essential to use your young people now. Let them gain that muscle. Let them gain that need. Let them gain. And I'll tell you something, and it's really fun to watch. Your young people will fail. We had a young lady, I'm believing she's 9, she could be 10, I can get that wrong, and she's usually pretty good and talented. She likes to play the piano, and she's teaching herself. Her dad's helping her a little bit. Her dad's a very accomplished musician and singer, and he's helping her a little bit, but for the most part, she's learning it on her own. And she got up Sunday night to play "I Surrender All," And the poor girl, she tried and tried and tried, and I don't want to sound like I'm picking on her, but she just had a lot of trouble getting going. She just had a block. Any musician that's ever played for any amount of time will tell you it happens sometimes. It's funny because I'll lead singing at times in church, and I'll play the piano. And sometimes when I'm getting ready to play the piano and lead singing, I'll get started, and I can't remember how the song starts. And I'll just sit there and I'm panicking and my face is turning red and I feel stupid. This young lady, she got up there and she started playing the piano and she kept trying and trying and trying. I looked back at her parents and typical, you know, us parents, we do this. And they, I saw them right about the time one of them kind of put their heads down and started shaking their head, and they were a little bit kind of embarrassed for her. I let her struggle for a while. I got up, I tried to help her with a few notes, but I let her struggle. I let her fail a little bit. She apologized some and she tried some. And she made her way through it, and she did okay. She did okay. That was all. She didn't do great. She did okay and blessed. Our church is very supportive of our young people, and they applauded real loud and encouraged her. You have to let them fail. But don't let them walk away having failed. You have to let them fail, but then you have to help them up. At the end of her song, when she was done playing it, I jumped up real quick and bounded to her side. How about that for art, artistic language? I bounded to her side, and because if I said I ran to her side, it kind of gives a weird picture. And I looked at her and says, "Hey, would you do me a favor?" She says, "What?" I said, "Will you sing it now for us while I play?" And she says, "Sure." And she got up at the microphone and she sang "I Surrender All," and it was so beautiful. And there were hands raised up out in the audience. I don't know if you lift your hands in worship, but in our church we do. And there were hands lifted up in the congregation, and people were worshiping with her. And she went back to her seat, and she had done a great job. See, I let her fail, but then I helped her up again. I wanted her to feel successful. And I teach the church to be supportive of our young people. And I teach them to trust me that they need to fail a little bit. I teach them that it's important. And so our parents, they don't jump up and they don't get angry when I sit back and let their kids kind of get a little embarrassed. You see, you have to be intentional and let others know what you are doing. You have to be intentional. As you're using your young people now, you have to be intentional. I've been told by several, many people have told me, I shouldn't let our young people up in on the stage during worship, because worship is so important and worship is so powerful, and worship is a warfare, and there's a battle in worship, and there's a joy in worship, and there's all this. And our young ladies are up there worshiping and are leading singing with me. And our young men are playing instruments with me. And I have one young man that runs the sound system. And he's only 15 years old. He won't be 16 for another month or so. How dare I use such young people for such a fragile thing as worship? But there are also times when I look at our young people and I say, "Thank you, that's fine for now." And they'll shut their mics off and step down. And then I'll fire up the piano again and I'll keep singing, and we'll sing and we'll worship more. It wasn't for them to be up there at that time. But I've been intentional, and I've told my young people, don't get offended. God wants to use different ones of us at different times. You have to be intentional when you use your young people. You have to be careful. You have to be intentional. You have to trust them. And my next point kind of ties in when I said let them fail, then help them up. And my next point is help them succeed. Help them succeed. Help them be what they need to be. Help them know what that anointing is. There's times I'll hear our young people sing and I'll know that they're right on the verge of really moving the hearts of the audience. And I'll lean over to them while I'm playing, while they're finishing up their last verse or last chorus, and I'll say, "Sing," and I'll tell them which part to sing again. As they're preaching, I'll be their biggest, I hate to say it this way, but I'll be their biggest cheerleader out in the audience, amening them and encouraging them on. I'll be sitting on the edge of my seat. Now, if they say something wrong, I'll kind of lower my head and kind of shake my head a little bit. Otherwise, I'll be encouraging them. Help your young people succeed. And finally, let them be themselves. Let your young people be themselves. themselves. Let them have their style within reason. I'm not saying turn your and I don't know what style of music you play in your small church. It's none of my business. We have certain standards of music and there's certain styles of music I don't want in my church. I say my church. Understand what I'm talking. I'm trying to differentiate where I go as opposed to where you go. But I don't want certain styles. I don't find them congruent with what God's calling us to be and do. And so I'm careful in that. But some of our young people that play instruments, they're not so caught up in our styles. So I teach them, go ahead and merge. Go ahead and sing and do your specials and go ahead while we're in song service. Merge and see how you can incorporate you into ours. And my son will come to me. My older son, he's a very accomplished musician. He'll come to me. He'll say, hey, Dad, can I try this? I said, give it a shot. See how you can fit it in. It's really cool. And he wants his own style. I have one young man that when he speaks, and he doesn't preach so much, he calls it preaching, and so I encourage him in that. So I hope I don't discourage him if he ever listens to this podcast. But the way he speaks, and he's very jovial in his speech and his speaking, and he tries to bring in some jokes, and so do I when I speak, so I think that's okay. But he'll try to bring in some jokes, and he's very personal in it. Let your young people be who they are. Don't try to just mold them into who you are. Teach them, show them why you are who you are and why you do it the way you do it. But let them be themselves. I have a young man, I let him lead the youth service, and I call it emceeing the youth service, being the master ceremonies. And I tell him, he comes to me, and we have a normal flow, a normal rhythm of our service, unless God kind of moves us, and he does at times, and we do our services in a different order, but we have a normal order of service. And so he comes, he says, what was first again? I said, and I'll look at him and say, what do you think should be first? Because I want him to be able to express himself and be himself. So as you're letting your young people do more and more in the church, as you're looking for things and finding them to do, now maybe you don't feel comfortable having them up in every service or every day service, and you find a special service. Hold a series of services. Maybe it's not about them functioning in service. How about having them serve food at a fellowship dinner? You will be surprised how much your young people will enjoy actually working for the church, doing things in the church. Find something for them to do. Then as they're doing it, my 4 points, let them fail, then help them up. Don't leave them a failure. It'll discourage and break their hearts. Let them fall and let them fail, but then help them up. Find a clever way to jump in there and help them up. As you're letting them do more and more, be intentional and let others know what you're doing and why you're doing it. Eyes on the future. Let your young people be a part. Number 3, help them succeed. Do everything you can to help them succeed. How do you do that when you let them fail? Well, there are times and seasons for everything, isn't there? There's a time and a season for everything. They don't have to fail every time they attempt, and they don't have to succeed every time they attempt. Do what you can to help them succeed. And finally, let them be themselves. But they're kids. I know. Let them be themselves. They're not the church of tomorrow. They're the leadership in the church tomorrow. They're the church of today. They're the life in the church today. And when they get up and they're themselves, it may not bring a great spiritual flow to the service, but you'll find it'll bring a life not only to the service, but to the church itself. You need chairs stacked up, let them stack up chairs. Age appropriate. I'm not saying put them on a 12-foot ladder and have them change your light bulbs. Age appropriate. Let them work. Let them do. Let them be themselves. Let them do it like they want, you know, within reason. Don't let them damage anything, but let them do it the way they want to do it. They'll learn. They'll grow. I hope this helps And I hope it brings life into your church. And I hope it gives you hope into the future. If you're not using your young people, even if you only have one or two, use them. And watch what God will do in the midst of you using your young people. I guarantee it'll bring life to your church. Thank you so much. As I said in the beginning, if I can be of any help, shoot me an email to smallchurchmentor@gmail.com. Come on my website, smallchurchmentor.com. Leave me a like, leave me a comment, sign up for my RS feed so you can tell when it's coming. Find us on iTunes, leave a review on iTunes. This is, I can't remember. What are we at? Episode, is it 13 now? I'll have to check. Forgive me for not knowing. But leave me a review on iTunes. Let me know how I'm doing. If I'm not doing so good, I want to stir it up and get better. If I'm doing great, then I want to keep getting better, but I want to be able to keep on keeping on. This is fun for me. I'm enjoying it. But I sure would love some encouragement to keep going. Thank you so much, pastor, leader, small church member. You're making a difference. Be faithful to what God's called you to do. Don't let what you see bother you. Understand that if you're following after God, then you're fulfilling your calling. And you're going to do what God wants you to do. You're bringing him glory and honor. What could you ask for more? God bless you. Thank you very much.